Jesus had risen from the dead was when the Holy Spirit came upon the earth and upon men. So today when we celebrate Pentecost, we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming from God in heaven and being put upon men. Until that point in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit came on somebody, he came on for a moment. You will hear somebody doing something and the Holy Spirit came on them and they did something, then that was it. But after that, the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came on men and actually dwelled inside of men to live in them. So here's where it started. Jesus risen from the dead, he's talking to his disciples. Acts chapter 1. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father's promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you in water, but I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So here's the disciples. They are waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Understand this. They haven't got a clue in the world what that is. It's never happened before. And so they're waiting for something, but they don't know what they're waiting for. They're not sure of what the sign will be, when it will happen, how it will happen. All they know, it's going to happen. But they don't know anything about the circumstances or how we're going to know what actually happened. Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were eating. Now, it didn't say a wind filled the house. It said the sound of a wind. Can you imagine in this room right now, right here, all of a sudden we hear this loud noise, but we can't figure out where it came from. I, when I'm sleeping, like to have white noise. Do you know what white noise is? It's some noise in the background that's consistent to drown out all the other irregular noises. So for years, I've had this fan in my turn on at nighttime to drown out all the irregular noises. When our firstborn son came, he was in our room. He was in our room for 3 days. I couldn't take his irregular breathing. You know what newborn kids are like, right? Drove me crazy. I didn't sleep for 3 days. Kicked him out. I said, I didn't spend all that money and spend all that time making that room so he can sleep in mine. So he's out of here. I need sleep. And so I have this fan that I use all the time now just to drown out these irregular noises in the background. I'm staying at my nephew's house. And wouldn't you know it, he likes white noise too. Only he's much cooler and more awesome than I am because he has an app for his phone that gives him his white noise speaker beside him. And I keep telling him I want that app because I want that noise. So he has a sound. He can have a sound of a jet. He can have a sound of a fan. He can have a sound of anything he wants. It's cool. That's what it was like for the disciples in the upper room. They had this sound like there was a violent wind, but no wind. Interesting. It says then, it filled the whole room. Everybody heard it. And then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. So it wasn't actually fire, but it looked like a tongue or a little flame of fire that landed on top of each of them. So on top of every person, they'd be walking around in this room. You'd look on top of them, they'd have this little flame walking around with them on top of their head. Now that would be different, wouldn't it? And then after that it said, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Can you imagine that the disciples have no idea what to expect? And then there's this white noise of the sound of a rushing a wind, a hurricane force wind in the room. Then these what looks like to be a visible a tongue of fire on people's heads, and then they start to speak in languages that they've never learned. Jesus made it super obvious to them that this was the Holy Spirit, and this is what they've been waiting for, that they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Jesus likes to do things we're not expecting, doesn't he? I don't know if he's done that to you. Do things that you weren't quite expecting, that things that not the way you thought they'd turn out or thought the way they would be. Jesus was trying to make sure they didn't miss it. Hey guys, this is what you've been waiting for. You've been waiting around here. You've been staying and you're doing what I told you to do. Thank you for doing that. But this is what you've been waiting for. Now understand, baptism comes from the Greek word baptismal, which means to immerse or to dunk. It be referred to a baptismal to a ship that would sunk. If it got a hole in it, it started to sink, all the water that got inside the ship, that's what we're referring to. Another thing they referred to is if they were dyeing a garment, and they get the dye, and they would put the garment in the dye, and when it got in there, all the dye would seep in and would get into every part of the fabric. Be something like this. We have the cloth, and you put it inside the water or the liquid, and once it's saturated, when you pulled it out, it literally would be dripping because it had so much of whatever was there inside of it. Then that's what the baptism is referring to. It's referring to having that so much of the Holy Spirit inside of us, so saturated with the Holy Spirit that literally there's so much inside of that, it can't contain it. It starts to drip out. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like. There's so much of the Holy Spirit inside of you that you can't contain it, that it starts to drip out. The disciples, completely saturated by the Holy Spirit, were drenched, they were full, they were running over with the Holy Spirit. They couldn't contain it. You know what the great thing is? The baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for the disciples. It was for everybody and all believers and followers of Jesus. Acts chapter 4 says this. After they had prayed, the place that they were meeting was shaken, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of the Lord boldly. In Acts 10 it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, which were the traditional Jewish believers, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. We read these verses, we notice that every one of the verses says, all were filled with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Now, when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what they're going to find out. They're going to find a sense of strength, a sense of power. Now, this is different than the Superman kind. You know, the power, more powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap tall buildings with one bound. Remember that? You guys don't like Superman? You don't want to admit that you like Superman. You see, it's different than that. Here's what the Scripture says when you have that Holy Spirit power in you. Acts chapter 1. For you will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. The power you receive, the strength you receive, is to live for Jesus. To stand for Jesus, to resist sin, to tell other people about Jesus. That's the kind of power you're going to receive in your life, to stand in the difficult times. Now, you understand that being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not about making us feel good. Although you will feel good when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not about making us happy, or it's not about making us important. It doesn't make us better than anybody else, any other believer. You can't earn it, you don't deserve it. It's not about haves or have-nots. It's not an award, it's not a badge we wear. Oh, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is about empowering believers, giving them strength to be more like Jesus, to be more effective for Him in their walk, and to tell others about Jesus. Does anybody need that kind of power or direction in their life? If you've ever been to Newfoundland at a certain time of year, you'll see these massive icebergs in the water. Some of them have reached up even up to 400 feet high. The interesting thing, when you watch these icebergs and you really take notice of them, that they are sailing due south against the waves and the wind. This big mass of iceberg is resisting the wind that's pushing against them, resisting the waves. Why is that? Because 90% of the iceberg is under the water, where the current, or the Labrador current, pushes them in the direction they need to go. So it doesn't matter about the wind. It doesn't matter about the waves, because the heavy currents underneath are pushing them in that direction. That's what kind of the Holy Spirit does in us when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's that Holy Spirit inside us that helps us resist and push against the things that are against God and going the wrong way. See, the disciples were supposed to go into all the world and tell people about Jesus. Now, they're going to be telling the same people that killed Jesus. You realize that? Disciples were sent out to tell people about Jesus, the same people that crucified Jesus on the cross. Jesus knew there's no way they're going to handle that on their own. They already bailed on Him once before. They'd already took off when He was on trial. They're all hiding in the shadows, in the distance. He knew that their own strength was not enough. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, if they were going to stand... Now, being a Christian today is not necessarily easy, is it? Our culture is a lot of things that go against God, that resist God, that resist Christians, that resist the church. It seems today that right has become wrong and wrong has become right. The things that we never dreamed of would happen are happening regularly and accepted and embraced by our culture or by our world. It's not easy to be a believer in Jesus. There's the stresses and the pressures and the persecution. Some are out front persecution. Some of the persecutions are happening in behind and are very subtle. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. I like what one person said. When you really have the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what you'll notice. When before the things that were the easiest thing to do seemed hard, now the hardest things will seem easy. When we're walking for Jesus and we struggle to do the things we're supposed to do, all of a sudden we get filled with the Holy Spirit in our life, all of a sudden we can make that stand. We can face that persecution. We can face those threats and we'll have strength. One time, even after the disciples had been filled with the Holy Spirit, they are facing lots of opposition. They had been thrown in jail. They'd been whipped and beaten and threatened, if you don't stop talking about Jesus, we're going to kill you. They were afraid. Even after being filled with the Holy Spirit, the pressure was so heavy, they didn't know what to do. And in Acts 2, it says, they got together with other believers, and after they had prayed, the place they were was shaken. All were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of the Lord boldly. Even being filled with the Holy Spirit, we can get times where we're so much pressure that we feel like we're weak, and we need more of the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time experience. We need more of the Holy Spirit in our life. I don't know about you, but I need that kind of power. Sometimes it's a ridiculous thing about how I feel the Holy Spirit talk to me and I don't do it. You ever had that? Holy mackerel, man. You guys don't even need to be here this morning. You've already got it together. Maybe you should be up here preaching to me. Right? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I do. It was just only a couple weeks ago. I was out taking my dog for a swim in a pond out here I had permission for, and the owner showed up, and I was talking to him and his son, and as I was talking to him before we left, and he was doing some stuff, and I was going to leave, and I felt the Holy Spirit, you need to pray for him, and I'm driving away in my truck, and I get partway down there, and I said, well, you know, next if I see him again, that's an excuse, because it's been 2 years since I've seen him now. Then I kept driving and I'm going down there and I'm thinking, oh man, I just can't beat this. He's still there. I got to go back and talk to him. So I go back there and knock on the door. I don't know how. It would have been a lot easier if I would have done it the first time. Because the timing was right. He was right there. We're standing. We're talking. Now I got to go in. I got to knock on the door. I got to interrupt him. I got to find some way to say, can I pray with you? And as faithful as God is, I go up to him. I talked to him for a couple seconds, and I said, hey, listen, can I pray a prayer of blessing with you and your son? He says, I would love that. This guy's not a believer. See, doing what God told us to do is not always easy. And that's why having the Holy Spirit in our life is so important, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's a gift. It's a gift that Jesus gives us. All we need to do for a gift is be willing to receive it. Yesterday, my family came down, and we spent some time, except for my son who lives out west. The rest of my daughter, my children, or my son-in-law, and my grandbaby came down to the house, and we celebrated Father's Day, and they had this gift that they gave me. The funny thing about that gift is, until I received it, it wasn't mine. You see, Jesus has brought us the Holy Spirit as a gift. All we need to do is to receive the gift that he's given us. Now, to do that, we need to have an attitude of surrender. Just trust Jesus, trust the Holy Spirit, repent of sin, if that's any sin in your life, ask Jesus, give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't be in a hurry. Put your watches away, put them in your pocket, relax, be patient. It's not a race, it's not something to check off your list. Jesus is not going to try to embarrass you in any way. All you need to do is just ask for the gift to begin to praise and worship Jesus. We're going to do that just in a minute, actually. The team's going to come up. We're going to praise and worship Jesus. And in that moment, as you're doing that, something's going to happen. You're going to receive what you feel is something come on you. As one scripture I read says, they knew they were filled with the Holy Spirit because they heard them speaking in other tongues, in other languages they had not learned. That was the evidence that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. That's going to happen to you when you're talking or when you're worshiping Jesus, when you're praising him. Just surrender. Speak the words, just like the disciples did, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you said, I've done that. I'm willing to receive. I tried to, but I just haven't received yet. Don't be in a hurry. Be patient. Do you realize that the disciples waited for 10 days straight before they were filled with the Holy Spirit? They were in the room, they were praying, they were talking and with each other, they were worshiping, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Broadway family of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The gift of the Holy Spirit's here for you today. Are you ready to receive him? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that on this Pentecost Sunday, we can remember what you did thousands of years ago when you sent the Holy Spirit for us to give us the strength and the power we needed to live for you. We thank you for that gift. Lord, make us open to receive it even now. In Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Receiving the Holy Spirit is open to anyone who is a believer in Jesus. Maybe right now you're here and you realize that you haven't made that step. You haven't made that commitment. You're not a believer in Jesus. But you want to be, and you want to make that commitment right now. I would encourage you, just say this prayer between you and God after me. Lord Jesus, I'm here right now at this moment. I thank you that you love me, that you died for me. So right now, I accept that sacrifice. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Help me to live for you. Just keep your head bowed, eyes closed. If you said that prayer with me to God, you've made the biggest decision you could ever make in your whole life. God loves you. He cares about you. You've just joined the family of God. In doing that, there's just the beginning steps. There's lots more that goes with that. Reading your Bible, getting a part of a good Bible-believing church. And so we would like to do this morning with our heads bowed, eyes closed. If you said that prayer, if you just want to quickly raise your hand, we want to give you a Bible that will help you on your new journey with Jesus. So if you just quickly raise your hand, we'll make sure you get that Bible. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Is there anyone else? If you said that prayer, we just have this Bible that with some information in there that will help you on your new journey. Just quickly raise your hand. Lord Jesus, I thank you for those that raised their hand. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you called them, that you brought them here this morning on purpose. This was a designed moment for them and for us. Lord, continue to draw them to you by your Holy Spirit. Help them as they're growing. Protect them, Lord Jesus. Keep your hand upon them. And so, Lord, as we're here this morning and we're going to be worshiping you, I pray right now that for everyone that is here, an openness to you and to receiving the Holy Spirit. We invite you to come by your Holy Spirit. We invite you to fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit. Even right now, in Jesus' name, amen. I would like us all to stand. And the altar workers are going to come to the front. If you're here this morning and you came with a need, you would like some prayer, just come forward to the front. We want to stand with you and pray with you. And even if you're here this morning and say, yeah, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or I want to be refilled with the Holy Spirit, you can be worshiping Jesus right now, and that can happen where you are. You can come to the front and receive prayer for that too. We'd love to stand with you and pray with you over that. So why don't we worship together? As we're worshiping, if you find yourself as the Holy Spirit is coming on you, just that urge to speak out words you've never been trained, you never learned, speak those out. That's the Holy Spirit wanting to move in you. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's just reach out to Jesus and worship and to receive the Holy Spirit this morning. Let's worship.